Hi, it's Jeff, host of the podcast. My latest author interview will be up in just one moment. I'm not going to ask you to buy anything. I'm not going to ask you to go and review the podcast. What I am going to do is take just one brief moment and ask you to recommend the podcast to just one friend. If you're a writer, or if you're someone who just loves books and you love this podcast and the interviews that I do, all that I ask is that you recommend the podcast to just one friend. Thanks a lot. Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Faye Snowden, author of the new novel, A Killing Rain, the second installment in her Killing Fire series. Unnerving Magazine wrote about the first book in the series. Full-bodied and dynamic characters carry this one along a mystery, tying a brutal past with a bloody present that will keep you guessing right up to the finale. Faye, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, if someone listening hasn't yet heard about your novel, A Killing Rain, how would you describe the novel?
I would describe it as a former homicide detective whose dad happened to be a serial killer. He has since passed on, trying to find her own way in the world and a new way aside from police work without having to constantly make up for what her dad's done.
And I'm curious, do you remember the original idea or impetus that led you to write A Killing Rain?
Yes, I did. It was a couple of things. The first is it's a sequel, right, to A Killing Fire. The protagonist, Raven Burns, is she's a really flawed character. She is trying, like I said, to find her own way in the world. And at the end of each book, there's going to be four books in the series, she's going to make a decision that's going to lead her down the path of being like her dad was, or lead her down a path to being a responsible, happy, contributing member of society. So at the end of this, what inspired me to write A Killing Rain was to kind of carry on Raven's kind of, you know, quest on trying to find out who she was. And I'm trying to think of how the subject matter came up or what interested me about the subject, you know, the serial killer in this book. But I'm always really, and it's without being too spoilerish, I'm interested in how families interact with each other. And I think that was a lot of the compulsion behind how to write the subject matter.
Sure. Well, I'm curious, what was your initial writing journey that led you to write and get your first stories and your debut novel published?
Oh, my goodness. Now, my debut novel was published years ago in 1999. Mm-hmm. So there I go dating myself. I've always written ever since I was like 15, 14 years old. I know some writers say I've written since I was 4 years old. Well, that wasn't me. Mine came a little later. And I grew up in Shreveport, Louisiana, and, you know, we were really poor, not a great home life. And so I escaped a lot into books, TV, and that was my escape. And I didn't see a lot of people on TV like me. So I started to make up stories in my head where, people like me played starring roles, right? And so that was one reason. That's how I started imagining stories. And the other thing is I've come from a family of writers. My dad was a writer. He went outside, of course, and my great aunt Ruby was a writer. Then I had people that had been screenwriters, things like that. So it was kind of there in her blood a little bit. So it was kind of a natural progression for me to continue that journey.
Sure. Well, I know this is a very broad topic, but I was curious about your thoughts about diversity in crime fiction. We're starting to see more diverse authors, but it's definitely not there yet in terms of reflecting the diversity of America and the world at large. I'm curious what your thoughts are about that.
Yeah, and I actually read an article for Writer's Digest about this, about diversity in crime fiction. I think it's extremely important to have different stories from different perspectives out there, because the stories that we tell each other shape our society. So if you don't have a lot of a diverse body of literature, then you are not only telling, quote-unquote, for lack of a better term right now, telling lies about your society because you're erasing, you know, groups of people and different voices. You're also like policy, right? I mean, if our literature and our fiction and our genre fiction shapes policies in this country. And I know people don't like to think about that, but just think about Upton Sinclair's The Jump, right, about the meatpacking industry and all of the, I think the FDA, that was the reason that they came about. And then you had a lot of policies from the Woodrow Wilson administration. And during his administration, they had like the birth. And I'm just giving you some examples.
Sure.
They had like the birth of a nation, right? And he had a lot of racist policies. And he loved that movie. I mean, somebody said, he said that was like history written with lightning. Well, that was fiction, right? And then you also had like the slave narratives, which were not fiction. They're all based on true stories. And then you also had Tom's Cabin, you had Richard Wright. And then I just think that having those diverse voices, like I said, not only holds a mirror onto society, but also shapes our society, how we see ourselves, what kind of policies we have, and that kind of stuff. And then, sure. You know what? Some of it's just pure entertainment and escape, like I did when I was a kid.
Sure.
And then, you know, not seeing myself reflected in the country's media, that made me feel like, did I really belong here too, right? So just that kid trying to escape a bad situation or whatever and not seeing themselves reflected causes emotional trauma. So I think it's really, really important that we do a lot better job at diversity in crime fiction.
Gotcha. Well, what was your writing process when you were working on A Killing Rain? Did you outline the book before you started writing, or did you just dive into the narrative? How does that work for you?
Usually what I would do is I'll write like a skeleton. And then during my writing process, I'll put flesh on the bones. Mm-hmm. Like I really have to understand the crime, who committed the crime, why they committed it, what they were like, and understand my villain. Then I'll start writing the story around that. But this time I was writing during the pandemic, which was a traumatic time for the whole country, world, actually. And I was lost. I mean, I would pick up a book about on the writing craft and try to write a book based on that method. And I put that one down, pick up another one. So this time I picked up Jess Lowry's Book in a Bag. And I sat down because I had a deadline, right? And I sat down and I wrote that book using that method because I just needed something to keep my head on straight, you know, and be able to write during the pandemic and write it fast. Just get it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, are you working on another novel now?
Yes, I am. I am starting to think about, I haven't done it yet, it's all in my head. It's all in my head, I promise. I'm working third book of this series in my head. But I have on paper a book about the Harlem Hellfighters. It's a historical dual timeline book that I'm working on now. And I was lucky enough to be granted from one of the local universities here a research assistant. So we're just starting to research and getting that book shaped up to get out of here. But in the next couple of weeks, I'll be seriously looking at the sequel to A Killing Rain and then putting that down, getting that the shape of that book ready to go.
That's great. The Harlem Hellfighters book sounds good too.
I just can't wait. You know what scares me, Jeff? This book has been in my head for years, and I always think about it. I think it was, I forget who said it, but somebody says, ideas don't belong to you, right? So the ideas will come to you and say, hey, Faye, you want to hang out with me for a couple of years and write me down and tell my story? And then if you don't, the idea will say, well, you know what? I'm just going to go over to somebody else because you're just messing around and you're never going to do it. But the reason I was messing around is that it's a really painful time in our history. And it's a really traumatic time because the World War I soldiers, they really fought the African-American at that time, really fought to get into that war. And for a long time, they were regulated to menial jobs and they went to combat. And they were overseas peeling potatoes and stuff. And finally, the French were like, wait, are you kidding me? We'll take them. And the French took those soldiers and they more battles than almost anybody. And the Saint-Croix de Guerre, they won the French part. There were stories of heroism and but then they came back home and they still had to navigate the racism and, being Black in this country. But and that makes it sound like a serious, like a literary book, but I don't really believe in the distinction between genre fiction and literary fiction. Sure. I know that a lot of people do. I think a good story is a good story. So it is going to, I'm just trying to write a good story, but that one really scares me because I'm going to do it justice, but I need to kind of do my own therapy here. I need to get rid of that, right? And not think about it. Just concentrate on writing a darn good story. So that's what I'm going to start doing.
That sounds great. Sounds great. Well, what writing advice would you offer for those who are working on their own stories and novels?
The writing advice I would offer is you have got to study the craft. And I'm not talking about going to school or enrolling in college or getting an MFA degree. But first of all, you need to read very widely. Read everything you can get your hands on. Read ad copy. Read all kinds of genres. Read mystery, crime, romance. Read literary fiction. Fall in love with reading. Then after you do that, or while you're doing, start looking at some craft books. There are plenty of books out there that help writers improve their craft. Start looking at those. And then if you already have a story, write the best story that you know how, set it aside for a couple of weeks, and then write the best, and then revise that story until it's even better. And just keep going and just keep pressing forward. And also remember that this is a very subjective business, right? So, and it's a business and, some agent may not like your writing over here, but another agent may just fall in love with it, right? So, get opinions on your writing and not just mom, pop, brother, sister. And then another thing is to build your community, find your tribe, so to speak. So, I belong to Sisters in Crime and they provide a lot of writing craft, webinars, advice. You make a lot of friends there as well. So find your community and join those writing organizations. And this is the last thing I want to say, and I know I'm talking probably too long, but it's really important that you don't conflate your writing with yourself, right? I hear a lot of writers say, this book is my baby. But can you imagine taking your baby and just showing it to a whole bunch of people as if it's cute? And showing somebody, it's cute, right? And like, somebody's going to say, no, your baby's pretty ugly. And that's going to wound you to your soul. Remember that your writing, I know people feel, well, I have a lot to say. What I have to say is important. But yes, but it's also a product. And it's a work effort. It's a work product. Just and kind of remember, it could be a great story. It can be, but you have to treat it kind of objectively, or you're going to get really turned away fast from this business.
Yeah, that's really good advice. Well, what novels have you read recently that you enjoyed?
Oh, my goodness. And I enjoyed so much The Lincoln Highway. I don't know, Angmar Taft, his Taos, The Lincoln Highway was really, really good. A Blacktop Wasteland, I read that a couple years ago. That was really good. I love it. Every podcast I go on, it's going to think I'm stalking because I always say, I just love his work. I read that. Rachel Hamilton Hall's These Toxic Things is pretty good, pretty creative and innovative novel. Any of the Tracy Clark's novel, her Chicago Private Investigator series, that award-winning series with Cass Grains as the protagonist. Those are all good books, like Broken Places, Runner, and books like that. So a lot of books.
That's great. Well, where can people find you online if they'd like to learn more about you and your novel, Killing Rain?
I'm online at www.facenoted.com. And then I have links to my Twitter profile there. And I mostly hang out on Twitter. I don't do a lot of stuff on Instagram, but I'm trying. And I hang out on Facebook, too. I have an author page on Facebook, but I'd rather you just look me up. I think I'm Faye_Snowden. Or Facebook Night on Facebook, and just join me there on my regular page because I don't do much with my page either.
That's great. Well, again, we've been speaking with Faye Snowden, author of the new novel, A Killing Rain, the second installment in her Killing Fire series. The novel is available now, so go buy a copy. And Faye, thanks for doing this interview.
All right, great. Thank you, Jeff. Like I said, I appreciate all that you guys do. Getting fiction out there to the world and writing advice and stuff. So that's wonderful. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.